All right, we're calling the House Labor and Commerce Committee for Friday, February 3rd to order. Please turn off your cell phones or silence them. And members present, we have Representative Sullivan Leonard, Representative Stutes, Vice Chair Wool, Representative Knopf, Representative Birch, Representative Josephson, and myself, Chair Keto. Today we have two items, second hearing up before us. One is House Bill 18, Race Classics, House, and the other is House Bill 49, extending the Board of Direct Entry Midwives. We have public testimony open, and I am looking, I believe we've got somebody online for the second bill. First bill, nobody online. Is there anybody? I guess what I'll do is HB 18 is already before the committee with public testimony open, correct, Caitlin? So is there anybody in the room that would like to testify that hasn't already on House Bill 18, which is the Race Classics bill? Seeing no one wanting to testify, I will close public testimony on House Bill 18. And we will open committee discussion, and we do have the sponsor and sponsor staff here to answer questions. We also have the division here to answer questions as well. Representative Birch.
Mr. Chairman, when would be an appropriate time to introduce an amendment for the purposes of discussion here? Or is that on, already in front of us?
You can do that at any time. So
I so move.
Okay. So amendment number?
The amendment to House Bill 18, which basically it takes away the need for the good city of Ketchikan to come forward and offer up any sort of amendment for the Race Classic. And I believe we have a memo of support from Seward, actually, supporting that change as well.
So, Representative Birch, you've moved amendment number one. Is there objection?
I object for the purpose of discussion.
Okay. So we have amendment number one before us. Do we have any committee members interested in commenting on amendment number one? I'd like to offer the sponsor an opportunity to talk about amendment number one. So, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have any real heartburn about this particular amendment. You know, we did hear some concern from my local community about the potential of other groups being able to hop on to this particular event or other events around the state that you know, that offer these race classics. So there's a little concern about that from my local community that I heard. Looking at it overall, I think that still, you know, in order for that to happen, a person or a group would have to have an existing permit. They would have to, you know, there would be some other safeguards there which would make it more problematic for them to, quote, hop on to that particular event. So overall, I'm neutral. I'm not, you know, I'm not excited about it, but I'm not really opposed to it either.
And thank you, Representative Ortiz. And in my haste to move us forward, I actually neglected to allow Representative Birch an opportunity to discuss his amendment in detail. Did you have any additional information you wanted to provide besides the statement of the items on the table?
No, I think we flogged this pretty hard last time, Mr. Chairman, kind of running the gamut of rodent races to everything. It was actually an eye opener and new information for me in many respects. I just think that you know, from the standpoint of you know, doing our business, if we're going to weigh in and consider the effort, energy, and initiative it takes to simply be added as a community that wants to do the good work as proposed by our representative from Ketchikan, I think that we can, you know, I think we can simplify this down the road. And it strikes me that this is just it's an easy amendment. It simplifies it in any community in the state. If they've got a gating permit and appropriately regulated, can basically do this type of a fundraiser. I commend the sponsor of the original recommendation, the original motion, or the original ordinance, or statutory change, but I think this will just make it better all the way around. And it actually reduces the amount of state statutes that we have in consideration here. So I think that's a good thing as well.
Thank you, Representative Birch. Are there any other comments about Amendment Number 1, Representative Knopf?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess I just want to speak in support of the amendment. You know, I think it just simplifies the life for a lot of our communities who wish to participate in what I'll call an annual event. So all the communities around the state, I think it simplifies it for them. And as the sponsor of the bill mentioned, there are other safeguards in place. No doubt there may be some unforeseen consequences, but I don't know what they would be at this time. So I think it's a good amendment, and I do support it.
Thank you, Representative Knopf. Representative Wohl, do you still maintain your objection?
I guess I have a couple questions. Talk about this quite a bit the other day, but I thought we also talked about the fact that if there's a classic and everyone had a classic and maybe Yakutat wants to jump onto your Ketchikan classic or another town nearby, and suddenly instead of buying a ticket to the Ketchikan classic, I might buy a ticket to the the Hooner classic. Maybe
better not rip well.
But another Sitka classic. So in other words, you don't want to dilute the and again, we talked about Nanana Ice Classic where I'm from, and if there was a Chena Ice Classic and a Tana Ice Classic and a Salcher River Ice Classic, and suddenly everyone has an Ice Classic, and it dilutes the one that you have. So I guess my question is, you mentioned gaming permit, is that something that is easy to obtain, and can you get one for one thing and then turn it into a classic? And I want the Ketchikan Chamber of Commerce to have a good classic, and I don't want too many classics. And I think that's probably why, and I think it was explained by the testifiers last meeting, that's possibly why it was in statute anyway. So maybe someone can address that.
Representative Wohl, in response?
Yes. I think the issue is here, the legislature doesn't need to be in the business of picking winners and losers. This is definition number 40, I think it's, or at least it's line 40, on race classics. So in the years that the state, this regulation has been around and this bill has been around, there's only been one. I mean, you've had Seward Marathon. I assume that the Ice Classics fall under some different gaming provision. I'm not sure. I don't have a copy of them in front of me. But I think here it's just it's a matter of simplifying it, and it's just I use it better governance. And I really don't think we should get into the business of saying, well, it's okay to have a Ketchikan Classic, but by God, we're not going to have a Hooner Classic because, for whatever reason. I'd say let the entrepreneurial spirit rise. And if somebody wants to have a classic, I think we should not stand in the way.
And for clarification, Representative Birch, there are ice classics identified in a separate part of
correct.
That same statute.
That's right.
Many further comments? You're maintaining your objection?
Sure, I'll maintain my objection.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, could I ask one of the staff members to kind of weigh in under the question of the likelihood or the potential of there being a piling on effect if we would adopt this amendment?
Bring somebody up from the department. So, Ms. Mitchell, if you could come and place yourself on the record again.
Representative Q, I'm Katrina Mitchell. I work for the Department of Revenue, and I manage the charitable gaming section.
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. And Representative Ortiz, if I can paraphrase, the question was, would not having individual classics identified have an impact on the success of any individual classic? Is that what you're...
Yeah, that's basically...
So...
Just to what...
Well, and Representative Ortiz, if you would like to come up to the table and provide your question, perhaps it would be clearer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, just to reflect the concerns that I heard from my constituency, from the Ketchikan Chamber itself, their concern was what potential would there be of greater potential would there be if this amendment was adopted for groups to pile on or weigh in on existing races like this particular race. So that's the question.
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell.
Through the chair, I don't know that I can answer the question. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to find a group that wanted to do it, and I don't know. Nothing's come to my attention. I mean, it's not like we have a, I'm not aware of a list of groups that are wanting to get in on various classics that are limited to certain organizations right now, so it's hard to predict how groups would react.
Yeah, okay. And Ms. Mitchell, can you provide your name and affiliation again?
Absolutely. Through the chair, my name is Katrina Mitchell. I manage the charitable gaming section for the Department of Revenue.
Okay, thank you. And I think maybe I can clarify then, and Representative Ortiz, the circumstance, I guess, is the department is not able to anticipate what might happen based on this change, and I think that is fair. So any other questions while we have Ms. Mitchell at the table? No? Thank you, Ms. Mitchell.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz. I do believe we've got an objection maintained, and I would like to have a roll call vote on amendment number one, please.
Representative Knopf.
Yes.
Knopf.
Yes.
Representative Sullivan Leonard.
Yes.
Representative Stutes?
No.
Representative Josephson?
No.
Representative Wolf?
No.
Representative
Birch?
Yes.
Representative
Keto?
No.
Three yeas, four nays.
Thank you. And with that, we have House Bill 18 before us. Amendment number one has failed, so we have House Bill before us unamended. Representative Wool, will of the committee.
Sorry. Thank you. I move HB 18 version 30-LS0199/A be passed from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Any objections to moving House Bill 18 with individual recommendations? No. So House Bill 18 is moved from committee. We'll take a brief at ease while we sign the paperwork. Okay, we are back on the record, House Labor and Commerce. We have moved House Bill 18, and we are now looking at House Bill 49. I'm going to bring House Bill 49 back before committee. Public testimony is open from our last meeting, and I do not see anyone online for testimony. I see many people online for questions. Do we have anyone in the audience wanting to testify on the bill under public testimony? Seeing none, I will close public testimony. And we have House Bill 49 before the committee in discussion. We also have people available online and in the room for questions. Is there any committee discussion on House Bill 49? Representative Birch.
Did we sort out the total cost, I mean, and how we were going to assess or, you know, balance that out going forward? And I know we talked about it to some extent about we have a funding note here. I should say not a financial, fiscal note of 4,500. But then there is there's some additional information through the audit. And if Mr. Chairman, if we could get some information on how that is going forward,
as far as the costs for the board or the backlog or the costs that they have incurred. We do have the Division of Corporations, Community and Economic Development, Division of Corporations, Business and Professional Licensing, Janie Hovenden, here, and that's a mouthful. Thank you, and welcome back to the committee. Please place your name and affiliation on the record.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jamie Hovenden. I'm the Division Director of Corporations Business and Professional Licensing. I failed to probably mention that the latest fee analysis that we had done on behalf of the program, we set the fees at $3,800 for a new license and for a renewal license. That will predictably, if everything stays the same, have them at a deficit by 2021. So they have, the board was very supportive of that, and we set those fees and hoping that they will be out by 2021.
Great, thank you. So again, through the chair, so the it's my understanding that the deficit that they're carrying for, the cumulative deficit, would actually be nibbled away, if you will, every year by the a $4,000 fee times the number of licensees.
Through the chair, that's correct.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you for the questions, Representative Bull.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, I believe reading elsewhere that they're not allowed to keep a surplus. Is that true? In one of the documents that accompany this, let me ask you this. If their fee at $4,000 nibbles away at their debt after 2021, then they will produce a surplus if everything stays the same. Is that okay?
Through the chair, Representative Wall, that is correct. These boards have carried forward from year to year. So what will likely happen is once they are, their fees are set very steep to get them out of this deficit, probably stay there until they have a comfortable or a reasonable surplus, and then when the evaluation or the analysis we go through again, we will be able to set those at a much more reasonable level.
Thank you.
Representative Knopp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, you know, the conversation last time we met on this was about investigative fees, and not just for this particular board, but for numerous boards. And this particular case, because there's such a small participation rate. But somebody had mentioned that if this board was not extended, there would be an alternative means of licensing this board through the department. Can you refresh my memory how that conversation went? What would we do?
Through the chair, Representative Knott, what will happen is they are now currently set to sunset June 30th, 2017. There is a provision in the statutes that allows for a one-year wind-down that is with the board to help transition over to management by the division or by the department, and that would be effective July 1st, 2018, which would be FY19.
Follow-up,
July 1st.
Follow-up.
So then the board would eventually go away and they wouldn't be qualified under the professionals that are running the board now, people in the business. Is that how I understand that? And then just be made up of department people?
Through the chair, Representative Knott, that is correct. We would probably need to do a lot of consultation. We don't have that set of knowledge base expertise. We would have to rely on the industry for assistance.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and Ms. Oven, I do also have a question. So are we exceeding the statutory authority we have right now in authorizing the repayment or the satisfaction of the arrears over multi-bienniums?
Mr. Chair, there is an allowance to recover deficit over a number of bienniums so as not to restrict people from their livelihood and to continue access to the midwifery care in Alaska.
Thank you. And I raise that only because I'm just wanting to make sure that if there's something we need to do to make sure that boards have the adequate opportunity to address significant debt, that we have that statutory ability. We are looking at another piece of legislation maybe that might address that issue in a different way, and we'll have that before this committee as well, but I appreciate that. Any further questions for Ms. Hovenden? No? Thank you. Any other questions about House Bill 49? No other questions for the committee. That brings the bill back for the committee. Representative Wohl, will of the committee.
I move HB 49 version 30-LS0299/A be passed from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
We have any objection to the motion to move House Bill 49? Seeing no objections, House Bill 49 moves from committee with attached fiscal note, individual recommendations, and we will take a brief at ease while we sign the bill paperwork. Okay, we are back on the record, House Labor and Commerce, and we don't have any further business to come before us, but I would like to acknowledge the assistance we've received again from our committee secretary, Caitlin Ellis, and LIO moderator, Greg Payne. Thank you for being there and helping us. And without any further business to come before the committee, I will just say that we are still meeting at 4:30 this evening for budget subcommittee under the leadership of Representative Seaton, I believe, for revenue. So with that, House Labor and Commerce, Friday, February 3rd, is adjourned.